Well, good morning. This morning I'd like to share something that's been on my heart the last couple of weeks. Been thinking about it a lot, trying to decide how to make application in my own life. And just thought I'd share it with you. And I guess what I want to say most of all, I don't want to bring condemnation where condemnation is not due. I want you to mind the Spirit. And if you search your heart and God gives you peace, then great. If you search your heart and realize that there's areas that need to change, then just encourage you, let's be responsive to what the Spirit has to say to us this morning. My title is, He That Had Gathered Much Had Nothing Over. 2 Corinthians 8:15 says, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians 8:12 through 15. We're going to be reading that in a little bit. But first, I'd like to get us thinking a little bit. I've been doing some thinking about what I have and how I spend my money. How do my decisions and actions affect others? Or do my decisions and actions affect others? And if so, how? I believe one of the problems that we as Americans have is that we can't imagine just how poor much of the world is and how rich we are by comparison. We don't really know what poverty is. We think poverty is having to live in an older house or drive a rusty car. According to what I was finding online, it's not real accurate. We don't know for sure. But there's about one car for every 5 to 6 people in the world. But in America, there are about 910 cars per 1,000 people. In South Africa, there are 165 cars for 1,000 people. And in India, there's only about 50. So if Calvary Chapel was like India, and there's other countries that are lower yet, but if Calvary Chapel was like India, we would own about 10 vehicles combined between us. So living in an old house and driving a rusty car does not make you poor by world standards. But I'm talking about poverty, real poverty, the kind where your child wants something to eat and you can't give them food. It's real, it's happening now, and there is much we can and should be doing, I think. And most of this isn't going to be in the news. It's not something that makes good news, or a good story, so it's not going to be in your normal news feed, but if you look for it, it's there, and it's real and it's happening now. Now going to 2 Corinthians, in the verses leading up to verse 12, Paul is kind of bragging to them about the church of Macedonia and how they were willing to give even more than they could. He said they gave what they could and wanted to give more if they'd have had it, but they didn't. But they gave even more than they were able to, just about. And he's recommending that the Corinthian church should adopt the same attitude. So starting in verse 12, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, you're only responsible for what you have, we can't all give the same amount, we can't all do the same, but it's what we have that we are responsible for. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, he that had gathered little had no lack. So he's saying, I'm not asking you to just give to make it easy for others or that you won't have enough, but neither should you keep extra when others are lacking. And right here is where I feel my spirit, and I'm afraid maybe some of you too. I don't want to pretend I know what you're thinking, but I know how I think. And we start thinking, how do we know what extra means, or what does that look like? How do I know if I have too much? When do I have extra? Maybe what's wrong for you is right for me. And I'll admit there's no one size fits all. But we also must admit that we have a lot while other people are watching their children starve or die from sicknesses related to a lack of good nutrition and clean water. There's different organizations, and the numbers I found vary, but in some places of the world, for $40 a month, $40 a year, you can feed a child that otherwise does not get to eat on a regular basis. Now, again, these children that are dying, and by the way, the numbers are just staggering. 29,000 children a day, that's 2.5 Sturgises, die every day for lack of nutrition. They don't all just simply starve to death, but because they don't have good food, their bodies are weak, and so malaria and other things kill them easily. Easier than it should, and if they'd have had good food, their body would have been healthy enough to fight off the sicknesses. So it's not simply starving to death, but it's food and water related in many cases. So if we were aware that Sturgis was going to die off tomorrow because of lack of food, I think we would probably do something about that. 2.5 times that many people will die tomorrow because they don't have food. So for $40 a month, $40 a year. In some places say less, some say more. I don't know exactly what all they do or how they do it, but different places take more dollars for the food. But if I were to offer you a vehicle of your choice for $40 a month, I'd have a long line of people waiting their turn to choose their vehicle. And that $40 a month would have to come from somewhere. Could it just as easily feed a child for a year rather than a vehicle for a month? And I think what really matters in all of this is our mindset. Do we care? And I'm just speaking what I've been dealing with. But this is all so far away. None of us probably know someone who is starving because they can't buy food. But what if you were my neighbor? And I've been trying to share Jesus with you whenever we happen to meet. And you're standing in your kitchen with every cupboard literally bare. You're too poor to own a refrigerator or a freezer. And probably to be more realistic, you wouldn't be standing in a kitchen either. You're standing in a tent or a mud hut or a pallet with a tarp over it or something like that. Your child is crying, saying, "Mommy, I'm hungry," and you have nothing to give her. And you look out and you see me and my family coming home with our to-go boxes. We're just coming from the restaurant. We all had $2.50 drinks and $12 meals. Our bill was $65 without the tip. And I'm feeling good about having spent some quality time with my family. And you're having a hard time not hating me right now. You're thinking I could have eaten at home for around $10, gave you and your family the extra. There's a word, extra. Do I have extra? I could have given your family the extra $55, and you could have used it to eat for several days, and in many places you could have eaten for weeks. But instead, I spent it on a single meal. And you know, it's the second time this month that I've done it. And you wonder if I'm really a Christian. This is happening, it's just that my neighbor lives further away than next door. What if we could actually hear the cries coming from the house or the hut next door? What if it was our child? What if it were Jesus? I'd like you to turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 14. And in this passage, Jesus tells two stories that highlight how important it is to do with what we are given. We know from other scriptures that we can't do enough good works to impress God. We can't earn our way into heaven. And that's not what this is about. But Jesus makes it very clear here that we will be judged for what we do with our assets. And I believe our assets would include our time, our money, our abilities, our giftings. What are we doing with what we have? And realize and remember that everything we have truly is a gift from God. So again, Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. So here again we see that it's not how much we give. He only brought 2 extra talents. The other one brought 5. But he did with what he had. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24, Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. I'm afraid that this one represents the man that says, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and that's all I need to do. I'm going to live my life for me, trusting him to save me in the end. 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful, you lazy servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then he switches. Now that's the end of one story. Now in verse 31 he goes on to another illustration. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now notice here, we all are here, the sheep and the goats. The sheep are the followers of Christ. The goats are not. This isn't something that happens after the church is gone or something. There are true followers and not true followers here. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I don't think I'm going to make a lot of comments on this. I think Jesus made very clear what his followers would do and what he expects of them. And he also gave some very grave warnings for those who don't take this seriously. I believe that the reason American Christians are weak in this area, and I've been thinking about this, and by the way, you do give, and I don't want to downplay that. I want to thank you. There's a note in the bulletin again today about the fact that we made it known last week that the funds were getting low, and immediately money came in. I thank you for that. And again, I don't want this to at all be me making you feel bad just because. I guess I'm just wanting us to make sure that we are seeking the Lord in this area of our lives. And I do thank you for that. The question I have, and what I ask myself, I enjoy giving. I honestly do. But do I give from my abundance, or do I give out of? Do I give from my abundance or according to my ability? It's easy to give. If I have $1,000 extra, I can easily give $500 and still have $500. Do I give the $1,000 that is actually extra, or do I give some of that? That to me is the challenge. What do we do with what we have? But I think we can be weak in this area because we just look around and do what everyone else in America is doing. We buy what we can afford, sometimes even a little more than we can afford, without first giving consideration to our brothers and sisters around the world. I'd invite you to truly seek the Lord and ask why he's given you what you have and what he'd have you to do with it. What do I do with my extra? In 1 John 3, again, just something that doesn't need much explanation, and yet is very, very sobering. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we know that God loves us, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, that's all of us. Some of us have much more than others, but we all have this world's good and plenty, really. And seeth his brother have need. I messed that up by talking in the middle of it. I'm going to back up. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Don't just say you love, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So how do we make this practical? This is going to look different in each of our own lives. Again, the main thing here is that we need to truly be honest with God and with ourselves. But one thing I thought, maybe we could make a list of assets. And if I can't say why or how it helps with the kingdom, I might as well sell it or give it away. I'll tell you what I've been doing personally. I've been trying to think in this way. This whole thing of starving children somehow just gripped me more than it has, I guess. And somehow my mind kind of settled on the $15. What $15 does? It sounds like that will feed a child for a month just about anywhere. And maybe and much longer in some places. So, for instance, the other day I was getting a hitch put on my truck. And for a few more dollars, I could have got a better hitch. But the one that I chose then was just fine for what I do. I needed to replace the rear bumper. It got damaged. The trailer had pulled it down. Anyways, I needed a new bumper and a new hitch. The bumper I really wanted was going to cost me about $900. And it was nice and it was heavy and it was black and it was powder coated. But I found one that had a dent in it that just looked like a factory bumper for $250. And it does the same thing. It works just fine. So I've been trying to think. If I spend $15 here, let's say I find a good deal on something. It's $15. I don't really need it, but it's a good deal. Or maybe I could get another one for $11. That will work fine, but it's not as nice, but it'll work just fine. The easy thing to do is just ask myself, well, can I afford it? And I can afford to buy a better tool. I can afford to buy better whatever, shoes. Or I can think of that child that could eat this week if I sent him the money instead. And it's literally up to me if he eats or not. We can't feed all the children. We can't fix all the world's problems. But I am either part of the solution or I'm part of the problem. Going back to the 2 Corinthians passage, equality. We hate socialism, and we're all about the American way where you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You work and you make a living and you support yourself. And there's some validity to that. There's some real problems with socialism. But Jesus spoke often and spoke clearly that we are not supposed to keep the extra. It's about equality. It's about the one part of the world having extra, the other part not having enough, and the ones with extra giving to the ones that don't have enough so that everyone has enough. I had to think about it. I did the math a little bit, and I didn't write it down for here or anything, but in the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12 basketfuls left over. And I don't know how big those baskets were. I doubt they were as big as bushel baskets. But I took a bushel and I divided it down into quarts and pints and cups and whatever. And I'm going to get myself in trouble because I don't remember the numbers anymore. But when you have 5,000 people, if each one, I think it was 2/3 cup. See, they had 12 baskets left over. And I know that Jesus could make as much as he wanted. But if that was all that was made, and right from the start they had all kept an extra 2/3 cup just in case, you know, I want to make sure I have plenty. they would not have had 12 baskets full left over, and they would have had a lot of people that didn't get to eat any food. The reason there was enough was no one took any extra, and no one lacked. They all took what they needed. And I think there's a lesson there for us. And that verse in 2 Corinthians there where it talks about that is referring back to, when it says, as it is written, it's referring back to when God gave them the manna and he told them just to take what they needed. If they tried to keep extra, it just spoiled. And I'm afraid that's what happens to us more often than we like to admit. We have extra and it spoils. It spoils relationships. It spoils priorities. It spoils a lot of things. And just ask God. And if we're honest, he will show us. I had two really vivid, clear answers from God in the last year or so. And they were actually quite kind of similar situations, really. And in the one situation, I got a clear no. I felt really strongly convicted that God was asking me to not have something I had purchased. And then on another occasion, he made it equally clear and just confirmed another situation that I was questioning. So I am convinced. I know God cares. I know God has a calling for each one of us. But we just need to be willing, truly willing, to ask him, what would you have me to do with what I have? Last time I shared, I recommended a message by John D. Martin, and I'm going to recommend it again. Much of what I've been thinking was stirred by his message. It's on YouTube. The title is Our World and Our Wealth. He does a really, really good job, much better job than I'm doing, of simply presenting facts and statistics and that show us that we truly do have a responsibility to meet the needs of those less fortunate than we are. Please watch it. I would just really encourage you to make an effort to watch that video, listen to that message. He's done a lot of research, and the numbers are amazing. The numbers will amaze you. We are truly rich and truly responsible. I'd like to leave you with Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Go with God. Be blessed this week. Seek his face. And I trust that soon we will be together again, and I'm looking forward to that. God bless you. Thank you.